Chapter 39. Hiram Yeager wolfed down a grilled chicken sandwich with green tea, then excused himself from his cafeteria companions. The head of NUMA's Computer Resource Center seldom left his precious bay, processing hardware for long, and quickly headed back to his lair on the 10th floor of the Washington headquarters building. Exiting the cafeteria, he smiled to himself as a pair of visiting politicians in blue suits gave the 50-ish man in the Rolling Stones t-shirt a slanted look. The lanky computer whiz flaunted his nonconformity by dressing in jeans and cowboy boots while wearing his long hair tied in a ponytail. His skill had overshadowed his appearance, as indicated by the massive computer center he had built and managed from scratch. Within its databases was the world's most exhaustive collection of research related to oceanography and underwater studies, as well as real-time sea and weather conditions processed from hundreds of monitoring stations around the world. Yeager found the computer center a double-edged sword, however. Its vast computing power spurred a constant demand by NUMA's array of research scientists eager to apply its horsepower to the latest pet project. Yet Yeager was never known to turn down a request for computer time within the agency. As the elevator doors opened on the 10th floor, Yeager walked into his cavernous computer lab, fronted by a large horseshoe-shaped console. A solid, slightly balding man with a friendly face sat waiting in one of the swivel chairs that lined the console. "I can't believe it," the man replied. "I actually caught you away from the roost."
"Unlike my beloved computers, I've still got to eat," Yeager replied. "Good to see you again, Phil," he added, shaking hands. "How are things down in the gravel pit?"
Dr. Philip McCammon chuckled at the reference. As head of NUMA's Department of Marine Geology, McCammon was the resident expert in the study of undersea sediments. As it happened, the department was located in one of the underground levels of the headquarters building.
"We're still pounding rocks," McCammon said. "I could use your help with some computing resources, however." "My kingdom is at your disposal," Yeager replied, waving a hand at the computer center around him, which represented the processing power of nearly a half dozen supercomputers. "I won't need to monopolize the castle for long. I received an unofficial request from an associate at Langley to take a look at some seismic data. I guess the CIA is interested in the two recent earthquakes that have pulverized the Persian Gulf."
"It is an interesting coincidence that there were two big quakes so close to each other, and they both put a crimp on the oil supply. If there are any more spikes in the price of gas, I'll soon be riding my bicycle to work," Yeager griped.
"You and a lot of other people."
"So, what can I do to help?"
"They have arranged for the National Earthquake Information Center in Golden, Colorado, to transfer a copy of their complete historical record on global seismic activity for the last 5 years," McCammon said, handing Yeager a sheet of paper with the relevant contact information. "One of my analysts has written a software program to evaluate the specific characteristics of the Persian Gulf quakes. Those parameters will then be run against the global seismic database to see if there are any other similar profiles."
"You think there might be something to it?"
"No, I can't imagine how there could be. But we'll help our friendly neighborhood spooks by covering the bases."
Yeager nodded.
"Not a problem. I'll have Max pull the data in from Golden this afternoon. Send up your software program, and we'll have some answers for you in the morning."
"Thanks, Hiram. I'll get the program to you straight away."
As McCammon headed toward the elevator, Yeager turned to a keyboard and monitor and began typing in a string of commands. He stopped tapping when he noticed a multi-page fax lying in his in-basket. He groaned when he spotted that it originated from the Continental Hotel in Ulaanbaatar.
"When it rains, it pours," he muttered as he skimmed over the fax. Then he set it down and resumed his keystrokes.
In an instant, a beautiful woman materialized on the opposite side of the console.
She wore a sheer white blouse and a pleated wool skirt that fell to her knees.
Good afternoon, Hiram. I was beginning to wonder if you were going to call today.
You know I can't keep away from you, Max, he replied.
A mirage of sorts, Max was in fact a holographic image created by Jaeger as a user-friendly interface to his computer network. Modeled after Jaeger's wife, but with the perpetual figure of a 20-year-old, Max had become very real to Jaeger and others in the Numa building who relied upon her artificial intelligence for solving complex problems.
Compliments will get you everywhere, she cooed slyly. What is it today? Big problem or little?
Some of both, he replied. You might be pulling an all-nighter tonight, Max.
You know I never sleep, she replied,
rolling up the sleeves on her blouse.
Where do we begin?
I guess, he said, pulling the facts in front of him, we better start with the boss.